Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Living for eternity according to what you've done. Now, that's a phrase that's straight up out of the Word, and it's one that is written many times. I'm going to guess a dozen or two dozen times that phrase is given in relationship to eternal rewards. And so what we're going to do in this session, as we focus on a specific aspect of eternal rewards, the idea that when we go to be with the Lord, there's going to be things that we're rewarded with forever based off of activity, decisions, choices that we made here in this age. We're going to be rewarded according to our deeds. As we kind of jump in, as we get a little bit of an intro here, I want to get us thinking about the years of our service to the Lord, the years of our life before Jesus mattering, that it matters. It's not just that it matters, are you a good person or are you a bad person? That's kind of a dumb idea. That's a kind of a lost person idea. We're talking about, are we engaged with the Lord's purposes? Are we those that are living for Him? Are we living for eternity? Or are we living for this age while still eternal beings, but we're not living for the right age? The years of our service. Matthew 5:19, I think, is an excellent exhortation for us. Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I want to exhort you to start to think about your capacity for greatness. You have a capacity to be called a little great, a lot of great, or a whole lot of great in the age to come. You have the capacity for greatness. This is Jesus speaking to us and saying, look, I'm actually going to be able to assess each of you. You have the capacity for greatness, but your capacity doesn't necessitate that you're going to live up to your fullest capacity. You've got the potential for it. And I want to speak to each of you that might feel like you're weak, broken, small, whatever. You feel like you don't have whatever you need. Jesus says to you that if you'll teach and obey the least of His commands, you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, you may not ever be called great in this age. That one's up in the air. Most people won't be called great in this age. Most people will not be identified on television as an awesome person. That's not how it works for the majority of us. But there is a capacity for every single one of you to be assessed by Jesus Christ as great. Guys, this is a life aim. This is a goal that we want to have in mind, that we would live up to that greatness, that we wouldn't just make it through this life. It's a tragedy that we would live happy all our days and show up before the throne with little to show and not be called great at the end of the age. I want to live great, not live happy. I mean, I'd like to be happy too if I can wing both of them, but I am more in enraptured the idea, the aim of our lives, that we would be living for greatness, not living for this age alone. And I want to tell you, the words of Jesus, each one of you has greatness within you that the Lord actually wants to draw out, and He wants to esteem that greatness. He, at the end of the age, when you stand before Him, the Lord wants to look at you and say, you are greatest in the kingdom of God. He wants to say that about your life. So you have the ability within you, and you have the greatest cheerleader ever, Jesus, maybe minus the pom-poms. I just can't picture Him with pom-poms. The greatest cheerleader ever is on your side and can't wait to utter the words, but He will not lie. You have greatness within you. You could be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And it's the desire of Jesus that He'd be able to say it about your life. I don't know, to me that helps with some perspective. It helps me get through a Tuesday. To think about I've got Jesus who wants to say that. How do I get there? What do I do? You're going to be rewarded for your partnership. Really, if you want to talk about eternal rewards, the real word, if you just need one word, because there's so many different categories, if you just need one word, it's partnership. You will be rewarded for your partnership with Jesus in this age. The partnership you have with him in this age, you'll be rewarded in the next. That partnership looks a lot of different ways. We'll talk about a few of them today. But really, it comes down to partnership, and I'm just going to give you the Matthew 19, 29 verse that I think gives an overview. It's not the fullness of partnership, but it does kind of give some of the perspective. Jesus says, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." I just want to focus on the left for my sake, because he gives a bunch of things listed out. It's not like those are the only things that count. He's trying to give some of the big picture items, like, listen, if you had to leave one of these for my sake, not you left it because you were irresponsible, you get penalized for that, not rewarded. But if you left these things for my sake, and you could add a long list of things that you might have needed to have left for the Lord's sake, he says, you'll be rewarded for that. It's partnership. You left for my sake. See, that's you doing something for Jesus. Get it? Left for my sake. You did it for me. You did partnership. So I'm going to reward your partnership. I just like to think about my life more in terms of partnership than days and weeks and months. Like, how can I partner with Jesus today? What are you doing? How could I do what the Father's doing? What are you up to? I want to leave stuff for you. I want to do stuff for you. I want to start stuff for you. I want to stop stuff for you. I want to say stuff. Like, how do I partner with you? Because you're going to be rewarded for every act of partnership. That's how the Lord sees this. See, because can I just tell you just the simple why on that? Why the Lord rewards partnership? If you're partnering with an invisible God who you've never seen with your eyeballs, it takes tremendous faith to do that. It's easy to partner with somebody like a business partner where you partner and you see dividends, you see returns. You partner with them and then you get money. And you're like, this was a good partnership. And you see it and it's tangible. It's difficult to partner with an invisible God. And so every time you do, he says, that's an act of faith. You're going to be rewarded for that partnership. He loves it. See, our faith is entirely resting on our belief that God is really real, and that this isn't just some man-made religion that we do as a way to take up our time and help us kind of, you know, not, you know, go crazy, like a way to kind of keep us thinking about good ideas, like a you know, self-betterment class. The church is not a self-betterment course. The church is the expression of those that believe that God really exists and that his son really is Jesus. And that Jesus really died for our sins, and that Jesus really said words like, your partnership matters, I see it, and I'll reward you. It's faith. Well, moving on, I'm skipping a verse here. Let's go to letter D. You'll be rewarded when he comes. This is Isaiah 40, verse 10. See, the Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. This is the Lord giving us clear understanding that we are to be looking forward to his return, because it's at his return that we receive our rewards. That's part of the reason it's called our blessed hope, the second coming of Jesus. This is one of those things that you want to have this in your diet of what you're meditating on, what you're living for. I'm living for the second coming of a Jewish man in the sky. I'm living for that. It's part of the reason I exist. I'm looking forward to that event, because when he comes, I'm going to get a bucket load of stuff. Now, that's not all that occurs then, but it is part of the package. When he comes, his reward is with him. See, we don't receive our reward in this age. The Lord is kind and gives us gifts. The Lord even does little temporal rewards in this life, but your temporal rewards are all going to fade. All of them. The coolest thing God gives you in this life is going to fade. But there are eternal rewards that we get when he comes. When he comes. That's when it says his reward is with him. I want Jesus to come back for a lot of reasons, but one of them is totally selfish. I want my stuff. And Jesus says, I'm good with you wanting that. I actually am the one that wrote the verses, inspired the Holy Spirit and the prophets to say these things. I actually am the one that put that in the Bible for that to be part of your MO. Not the fullness, but part of it. For us to be thinking, I can't wait for Jesus to come back because I have been in secret doing these things and serving him in these ways, and I can't wait to see what my reward is going to be. It's the reason he talks so much about eternal rewards. It's the reason he told us he was going to go prepare a place for us in heaven. If it were not so, I would not have told you. It's the reason so that we could get our heads in that age and in that realm. All right, well, let's talk about some of what we're going to get rewarded for. He promises to reward the righteous. What does righteousness look like acted out? What does righteousness look like in the day-to-day? I'm going to give you just three words, and then we'll break them down. Deeds, work, and service. Let's look here. According to our deeds, look at these verses. Jeremiah 17 and then also Jeremiah 32. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Jeremiah 32, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to all the ways of men. You reward everyone according to his conduct as his deeds deserve. I love both of these verses because they don't just talk about rewarding deeds, but rewarding deeds according to a pure understanding of the motives. See, both times God is going after. I see your motives. I see your heart. I know what's going on. So the deeds that you're doing, I'm actually able to perceive the motive behind it. And I really, really love these deeds that are inspired by these motives, even though no one sees them or cares. In fact, your motive was right. Your deed was in accordance to your motive. People judged you and said you were a numpty and that you had wrong ideas, wrong motives, wrong actions. But I saw it, and you're going to get a reward for that. Similarly, the flip side is true, and that is deeds done with impure motives will not be rewarded no matter how many praises we get from man. He says, I see what's going on. I see the deeds. I see what you're doing. I see the responsiveness. I know the secret things that are going on in your heart that motivated that action. He said, I'll reward it. Other people might not see it, notice it. Other people might notice it and wrongly perceive what you're doing. Not me. Says, I see you perfectly, and I will reward you according to your deeds. When the time comes, you will receive a reward for every action operated out of a pure motive. Oh, that's awesome. So I don't have to be awesome. I just have to be pure in heart. I don't have to look cool to you. I just have to be right before Jesus. I don't have to make sense to you. I'm not performing for you. He sees my heart. He sees the motives, and he sees the actions that are then acted upon out of those pure motives. That's all I got to do. And then, yeah, you and I, we need to talk to make sure I'm not, you know, rubbing you the wrong way, you know, accidentally when I don't have to. But when it comes down to it, the Lord's like, I see what's going on in there, and I'm going to reward you according to those deeds that are done out of right motive. Next, according to our work. I like this phrase because where the deeds, it's a bit disjointed. The idea of the deeds, it's like one here, one there, this. It's kind of an overall of life. This next concept, this next category is about cohesive work in a direction to see something built. And I love that. I love that idea. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians 3, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. Next verse out of 1 Corinthians as well, chapter 3. Each one should be careful how he builds. His work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. I like this idea about cohesive building. So the direction of, you know, of a ministry, the direction of the way that you are, you know, you small group leaders, the way that you are building your small group, your labor week after week after week, your intercession, your investment in those people's lives, you know, for others, whatever it is that we're doing for the kingdom, the cohesive labor, the work that we build upon. So it's not just the random acts, and the Lord sees every random act. This is a different category. This is the intentional brick upon brick, I'm building something for Jesus. I mean, there are so many categories of this. This can be, you know, some of your efforts in some of your writings. This could be songwriting. This could be anything. This doesn't have to just be a physical ministry one-on-one to a person or a group of people. The Lord sees cohesive labors. He says, I'll reward you according to it. He says, however, it's going to be tested. And it says, it's going to have to survive fire. So it actually needs to be of kingdom value, of kingdom pursuit. You're not going to get rewarded for building dumb stuff. So if you spend your life building dumb stuff, the Lord's going to look at your big mountain of dumb, and he's going to go, this is dumb. Why did you spend your whole life building that? But if what you build survives, and the way that it's tested is the fruit of the Spirit, the objectives behind it, the impact that it has on the kingdom, your intentions, and the Lord says, if what you built survives, he says that is going to be of great value. For me, I love the idea of cohesive efforts. I'm a bit of a nerd, but I thrive in this idea. I'm going to do something today that's going to be connected to something I'm going to do tomorrow and connected to something I'm going to do next week and next year. And I'm going to build something awesome for Jesus. And if no man ever thinks it's cool, I'm going to do it for him. He says, you will be rewarded for that. I mean, that's your families. You know, dads, that's the family that you're building. The way that you're building your family, the cohesive labors of how you're trying to build a godly home. See, all of this matters. Next category. I just put it as in general because these phrases are the most abundant. This category, I don't exactly know how to speak about it. I'm just calling it in general. It's stuff that we do, say, react. More is said about this kind of general category than any other. And so that's why I think it's so important that we recognize this as a part of the conversation because it's actually the lion's share of the conversation in Scripture. Isn't a reward for a specific thing. It's a reward. It just says, according to what you've done. It just leaves it very open. And this exhortation is the one that is most quoted, is most written. This one. It goes like this. Psalm 62, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely, from a perspective of a God who is loving and strong, he's got strength to do it and love is his perspective. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. God sees your life and he is going to reward you according to what you've done. I want to live with that perspective. I want to live today and this afternoon. I want to live through disappointments with the perspective, you're going to reward me according to what I've done. And it's just this blanket statement that applies to everything. It applies to anything. You're like, well, does it apply in this circumstance? If it's a circumstance, I guarantee you it matters. It applies. He will reward you according to what you've done. But again, it's got to survive the fire. It can't just be, you know, just whatever you do doesn't count. It's right motives, right action, that which was done for him, done in his name, done with right perspective. But there's no end to this. This could be the way you handle the traffic jam. By the way, you can lose points for the way you handle the traffic jam. I mean, this really matters. The Lord is looking to reward us for what we've done, for our responses. That is so cool. And I love the perspective that we get here in Psalm 62. The focus is on who God is. He's big and strong and powerful and glad-hearted and filled with love. And that's the one who's got the reward button. Reward, 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 reward. He pushes it when he sees in our life what you have done for him with right motives. I mean, guys, sometimes your right motive, I remember reading this, you know, story. I can't remember what book. Amy will probably catch me as I'm in the middle of this. She'll be able to tell me, but some book, and it was this homeless guy, and he gets rewarded from the Lord. He's standing before the Lord, and he gets rewarded for not kicking a cat. Final quest. Yeah. Rick Joyner. Wow, we just came from there. That's great. Final quest. He gets rewarded for not kicking the cat. Like, the Lord's like, I saw how much you wanted to kick that cat, and you didn't kick the cat in my name. You get rewarded for not kicking the cat. Now, don't all get rewards for not kicking cats. But that dude did, because he really wanted to kick the cat. And he chose not to for Jesus. I just want us to understand, we're not talking about big things versus, you know, are the only ones that count. Any little thing counts if it's done in his name. But remember, he sees the motive. So he sees one guy and go, I want a reward for not kicking this cat. And the Lord's like, you're being silly. But he sees a homeless dude who really wanted to kick the cat. He's like, you didn't kick the cat. Okay, that's good. The Lord sees he is loving and generous, and he's strong to reward. He sees the little movements of your heart. You can get rewards for the way you do the dishes. You can get rewards for what you have done because he sees the motives of the heart. Next verse, Matthew 16, says the same thing. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Jesus coming in the sky and promising to reward each person, not according to what social class they were in, not according to what their accomplishments were in this life, according to what they have done, and the Lord weighs the heart. See, it's even playing field for all of us. Remember, I told you that all of us have got the capacity for greatness. That greatness has nothing to do with your social standing. It has nothing to do with your ethnicity. It has nothing to do with what time period in human history you're born into. It says, you have been given great capacity to be great. It's according to the little choices, that which is done for Jesus. I don't want to waste stuff. I want to drive for Jesus. I want to talk for Jesus. I want to preach for Jesus. Whatever I'm going to do, I want to disciple my kids for Jesus. I don't want to just go through the I want to eat cereal for Jesus. I want to figure out a way to get a reward every step of the way, and I think that's actually the point. I think that thought process is actually the point, that we would live like Jesus is actually there with us watching, and that we can either waste the dishes or do the dishes for Jesus. Is it? I really think it's that simple. And that you'll be rewarded for what you do. Everything that is not done in faith is sin. But the flip side is true. Everything that is done in faith, the dishes. I'm doing this to serve you because it serves my family. I'm doing this because it helps keep our house clean, and we want to do that in reverence for you. Whatever your motives, whatever your thoughts, you can turn it into rewards, people. Revelation 22:12, again, I just given you a bunch of the verses. This is the last one I'll give you on that. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. This verse, or this phrase, according to what you have done, it is probably the most repeated phrase in relationship to eternal rewards. And it's just this blanket statement that covers everything. But now let's talk about kingdom service, because this now gets more specific. So we just did a bunch of the overview stuff. Now let's look at the specifics to serving the kingdom of God, because there's plenty that says it. And when I'm using that term, our kingdom service, even that is pretty broad, because you'll see these ideas range pretty greatly. Serving wholeheartedly. Ephesians 6, 7 through 8. Serve wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether slave or free. Serve wholeheartedly. Not just serving wholeheartedly gets reward from the Lord. Serving the purposes of the kingdom wholeheartedly. I can remember being a part of a ministry, and there were some things that were asked of me that I thought were unnecessary. My 21-year-old perspective probably would have used different words than unnecessary. I didn't really understand, didn't really appreciate. It didn't seem like a value to me. But I recognized, I probably read this verse. The Lord probably saved me from, you know, all sorts of loss. I read this verse or one like it, and it clicked. I'm like, I'm going to do this dumb thing all in, because I'm going to serve like I'm serving Jesus Christ and not the person that gave me the dumb assignment. And I got points for that. I got credit because I chose to serve wholeheartedly something I thought was completely unhelpful. I didn't believe it at all. I thought it was useless, dumb, unhelpful. It's like, but I was given it by someone who was in authority over my life, and I said, I am going to serve wholeheartedly as though serving Jesus Christ and not serving men. That's powerful. That means anything in Christian service, anything in the kingdom, if you'll serve wholeheartedly, even if it's a dumb thing, the Lord will look at it and go, your labor is not in vain. You will be rewarded according to what you've done. That is awesome. The Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. That is awesome. Next category. This is out of Proverbs. Rescuing those that are being led astray. Did you know that every effort you make to help people out of deception, whether it's deception because they don't know Jesus and they're going to die and go to hell, or it's deception because they're believing something that's error, did you know that the Lord looks at that? He says, oh, I'll reward you for that. Look at this. This is Proverbs 24:10. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? This is a twofold. You see the person and you do nothing about it. Will not the Lord repay each one for what he has done or not done? But instead you see someone and they're walking in deception and you do something about it. You make an effort, the Lord says, I will reward you for that effort made. Every effort to lead people from going astray, I see it and I reward you. He says, I love it when there are watch guards out there, watchdogs that are paying attention to what's happening and care about people's souls and destiny and direction, and that would stand in the gap on their behalf and say, listen, let me help you. Let me lead you the right way. So this absolutely applies to the lost and salvation, but it's not limited to that. There is a whole world of deception that we can actually stick ourselves in the situation and try to help somebody from going astray. The Lord says, I will reward you for every effort. Kind to the poor. Proverbs 19:17. It's not the only place that says it, but it says it here. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Kindness to the poor. You're kind to the poor. The Lord says, I'll reward that. I mean, I want you to think about the power that you have to make an impact eternally for that person and your own soul as well. Kindness to the poor, the Lord says, I see it. It matters. I'm oversimplifying Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 18. They all say the same thing. One's about praying, one's about fasting, one's about giving. And we just talked about giving to the poor. Here it is again. Pray, fast, give. Matthew 6 says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I don't know if you knew this or not. You get rewarded, you get eternal rewards for praying, fasting, and giving. I just want to build a lifestyle where those things are normal. Let's build a church where that stuff happens all the time so that just as a default, we are heaping up a big old pile of eternal rewards where praying, fasting, and giving is just the normal rhythm, where that's just the baseline, and then we're going out and pursuing these other eternal rewards, but that pray, fast, give would just be normal, that everybody in our church would pray for real, have real prayer times, real prayer commitments, that everybody would fast. You know, we do a monthly fast, the Global Bridegroom Fast. We do it the first consecutive Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of any month, where those 3 days are actually in that month, the first ones. And we do it every month. Jump in. Did you know the Lord says, I will reward you for fasting and giving? That I will reward you. This is beautiful. Oh my gosh. I can get eternal rewards for praying, fasting, and giving. We're a community that tries to do that. This is really good news. I have good news for you. Pray, fast, give doesn't just soften your soul in this life. It also grants you rewards in the next. That's pretty powerful. Persistence in doing good. Romans 2, 6 through 7. God will give to each person according to what he's done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. The Lord will give according to what each one has done, and then specifically highlights this idea about persistent good. So You get rewards for good, but you get double rewards for persistent good. Those things which are done to be honoring to the Lord, acts of kindness, things that seek the glory of God, ways to honor Jesus in your life, things that are serving the purposes of eternity. He says, I see those things, your acts of Christian service, your efforts to build the kingdom of God. He says, I see them and I'll reward you for that. This is tremendously good news for us. I just want to tell us, you don't have to be smart or super able or whatever in order to heap up eternal rewards. You just got to live for God. And the Lord says, every act done for me will be rewarded. Every motive of the heart I see, you will be rewarded according to what you've done. It's interesting, though, it all talks about action. Done. Do. Say. It's all stuff we got to do. It's stuff that we've got to engage in. It takes faith to do that. Now, I've given you the good news, but I've got to give you the bad news. This bad news is gripping to me. It's one of those things. There are very few things in the kingdom of God that have had more impact to cause the fear of the Lord in my life than what I'm about to read you. In fact, I can't think of anything that personally has impacted me more. It's possible that there is. I just know I've kept coming back to this thought process for years and years, and it's continually caused the fear of God in my soul. And I am hoping today, by the grace of the Lord, that He'll impart that to you. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, give the fear of the Lord through this concept, these Bible verses. Matthew 19:30. Many who are first will be last. Many who are last will be first. Next verse, Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child, and he had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Why am I bringing these verses up? Specifically, the concept of many who are first will be last. I have a little bit of a perspective. It's not massive, but I have a little bit of perspective having gotten to travel internationally a little bit, and specifically to countries that don't have near the access or the resource that we do. We have a real problem in America. We are first. It's a real problem. I remember when the Lord told me to come back to America from the mission field. I was mad because I didn't want to come back to first land. Because I recognized the weight, the responsibility of living in America. You are first. And many who are first will be last. It really works against us in some ways. This is the fear of the Lord thing I was talking about. I recognize how privileged we are. I recognize not just how affluent our culture is, that's one area. I recognize how literate we are to Bible ideas. How preached at we are. How Bible accessible we are, Bible apps and Bibles. And I mean, I bet you everybody in this room has got multiple Bibles at home. I mean, we are first. We are first, and that's a really fear of God thing for me. I can remember having, when I came to know the Lord, it was early on, I started to recognize human history is not filled with people that are as blessed as I am. Current reality across the earth, the world is not filled with people that are as blessed as I am. There are places that don't have the freedoms I do, don't have access to the things I do. I'm in first place. Oh, this is horrifying because I'm reading this and I'm going, oh, Jesus, you're talking to Americans in 2022. You're trying to shake us awake. Because we start off at a deficit if we're not careful. Because many who are first will be last. Oh, I don't like it now. Now I'm like, man, all these blessings, it comes with responsibility. And we have got to own that responsibility. And here's the thing. I think we don't. I think we have no thought at all of how blessed we are. And so we start to complain about little things with no understanding of the weight that that carries by comparison to the ones that have nothing and that are rejoicing over the little thing they have. See, I think we don't live with the weight of this. I think we have no revelation, no living revelation. We've heard the words. I don't think we walk with the fear of God of how blessed we are in every realm. There is nothing you don't have access to. There is nothing you can't get. There's nothing that we have been given so many opportunities because of the hour that we live in, because of the place that we live, because of the Word of God and its prominence in our region. I mean, there's so many. There is an endless list of why you are in first place, straight out of the chute. That is terrifying because Jesus goes, just because you were born into first place doesn't mean that's how it's going to be in the next age. In fact, many who are first are not going to live with the fear of God. They're going to live just like they're going to take it for granted. And at the end, they're going to be last. This has been a terrifying thought process to me. I mean, this has put the fear of God in me so many times over the years. Because I'm looking at it, I'm going, I'm in first place! And it's supposed to, because we're supposed to read those words and be challenged by it. Look at Luke 12, 47 through 48. The servant that knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. You may not like the message, but you can't argue with the words of Jesus Christ. You have been given much. Recognize it. More than the majority of humanity in history or even on the earth today. You have been given much, and much will be demanded. Oh, Jesus, this is really intense. How I carry myself matters more here in this place of prominence. Much will be demanded. Much. I want to live with the fear of God. I want to hear Bible verses like this and go, I've been given first place. I have been given much. I have been entrusted with unbelievable resource of understanding, of access, of just day-to-day blessings. I don't have to walk. I don't look around hungering for food. You know how many people in the earth don't know where their next meal comes from? You have been given much. And while that is an incredible blessing, it comes with tremendous responsibility because much will be demanded. It is far better for us to be shocked now so that we don't get shocked when we stand before the Lord. I just cannot imagine how many Americans, I'm just picking on America because it's where we live, how many Americans thought they did a good job, stood before the Lord, and he said, last place. What are you talking about? I went to church every week. I was a pretty good person. I gave a little. I did this. No. You don't understand. The assessment was different for you because much had been given to you. Therefore, much is demanded, and you gave some. You were given much and gave some. No! Ah! Jesus! Jesus, you have been given much, each one of you, and you'll stand before the Lord. Much will be demanded. There's nothing you can do to get rid of the verse, and it's not isolated. This is why this series matters. I don't mean, cool, we're doing a long series. I mean, the concept is so important. It's not enough that you just make it through this life and don't do anything crazy stupid. You're going to be given and rewarded and assessed according to what you've done. And according to what you've done is also going to be measured according to what you've been given. You've been given more than anybody. You've been given more than anybody. And you're going to have to respond to that. Now, the great news, this is the kindest thing he could ever do to us. If we respond fully right, our lives are epic. You're not in like solemn, you know, you're not in this like place of like pain. Your spirit is actually the most alive it could possibly be. So your reward for the recognition, I'm in first place, much is demanded of me, much is required. Your response is wholehearted service to Jesus, which will actually make you the happiest you could be all your days and then give you the greatest amount of reward at the end, the kingdom of God. So it's like, well, it's not fair that I'm in first place. You have no idea what you're saying. It's the kindest thing he could ever do to you. To put you in first place, to then put you at a place of deficit, to reach as hard and as fast and as long all your days so that you could actually overcome that, have your spirit alive, that you'd be alive on the inside, yes, living in this world, but not according to it. With your eyes on things above, with your spirit gazing at Jesus, with your life mattering and the choices and the decision and the dishes mattering. So that you could be alive in Christ. It's the kindest thing he could ever do to you, but only if you respond. Many will stand before him and they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not? Many will stand before him and say, I can't believe that you'd put me in last place. I gave you some of my life. He says, yeah, but you were given much, some. That doesn't work. Still in heaven, but so much of our life wasted. Guys, I hope you hear me. There are going to be so many people that stand before him, and that's what's said. Not a few, so many. Don't be one. Hear this message and cry. Don't be one. Don't be one. The assessment scale favors the weak. Matthew 19, 23, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm a rich man. Matthew 11, 25, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, but you've revealed them to little children. Assessment favors the weak, the child-minded, the simple-minded, the ones that aren't huffy and arrogant in their understanding. The Lord actually favors those without that level of understanding and that access. I have access and a level of understanding. Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus, help me. Luke 16, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. Now he is comforted and you're in agony. I have many good things. You do too. The one of you in the room that has the least has so much. You have many good things. Much will be demanded. Jeremiah 9, 23, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom or the strong man boast of his strength or the rich man boast of his riches. I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. There are many of us in this room with wisdom and strength and riches and blessings. Just don't boast in those. Don't put your hope there. The Lord actually looks at the poor, dumb, and needy, and he says, look, I'll pour out my favor and my grace here. I'll actually make it easier on them. It's a real problem that we're in first place, people. It's a real problem. It's one that we can't ignore and pretend doesn't exist. I mean, you can, but you'll give an account. You give an account. Proverbs 15, 25, the Lord tears down the proud man's house, but he keeps the widow's boundaries intact. The proud man that's got all the strength and all this stuff, the Lord says, listen, if you're not careful, I'm going to be in opposition to you. He finds a widow and he says, listen, sweetheart, I'll take care of you in ways that you don't even know. I'll protect you in ways that you're not even aware of. I'll fight for you. See, because the Lord favors the weak. And we are strong. We are so strong. The The weakest of us is strong. Proverbs 27 through 8, some trust in chariots, some in horses. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. They're brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. The answer is we trust in Him. We look to Him instead of in our strengths. Instead of putting stock in those strengths, we actually look at those strengths as invitation to go weak. It says, in your weakness, there I am strong. It says, there I show you the fullness of my strength in your weakness, not the fullness of my strength in your strength. Those who are last in this life versus those that are first in this life. All the rules are the same, but the grace package is allocated differently. It's actually easy. Just think about that rich man, the hard for a rich man to get into heaven. It doesn't say impossible, it says hard. And you could change out rich man with wise man. Statement would be true. Prominent man, blessed man, American man. It's hard for American man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not impossible. It just requires that we take this stuff to heart. I'm going to give you this last verse, and you can come on up. Isaiah 49, verse 4. But I said, I have labored for no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. I just want us all leaving with this. What is due you from the Lord? What is due you? It's in the hand of the Lord. What is due you? Live with that thought process in mind. What am I due from the Lord according to His purposes, His plans? Because I've followed His patterns. I've paid attention to the things He said to esteem. I've been thinking about according to what I've done. What is due you? Because I've got good news for you. The Lord will give you what you are due. It's in His hand and He will reward you with it.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.